I'm going to bombard you with a lot of ideas in the next 30 minutes. I'm going to make sure that every single one of them is implementable, is either free or low cost and is easy to implement. And I applaud Christine for giving a number of wonderful tools that are not only free or low cost, but also are durable. Most tools in the e-philanthropy space have a very short shelf life. Pretty much all the ones that Christine mentioned, I can assure you, are going to be around in a year or two or three. So what I want to do is share with you how you can use your website and the internet to further your mission and to raise more money. Now, the first couple of slides I have are brand new. You're practically the first human beings to see them. And in keeping with tonight's theme of fundraising in a tough economy, this shows the total charitable giving over the last 40 years or so. And you can see it's a nice upward-shaping parabola. Notice that the years that are recession years are in light green. Also notice that in every case when there's been a recession, there's either been little or no dip in overall charitable giving in this country. So this is a little bit of hope that I want to give you for this economic downturn. Now, you might argue that this one is worse. You might argue that this one is also worse because the stock market has collapsed. There are certain segments of the nonprofit community that are particularly affected in this case. For example, any of you that are associated with Madoff. But overall, the hope here is that there is not historically that much of a decrease in charitable giving during economic downturns. Now, Christine mentioned Barack Obama, and whether or not you voted for him, he is going to be our president in 12 days from now, and you have to admit he ran a magnificent campaign. Christine said it's going to be analyzed to death. We're going to start right now. So here are a few things that I would like to point out about Barack Obama's campaign. First of all, he raised $605 million, most of it online, far more than anyone else in presidential campaign history, and double what McCain raised. He did this through 3.1 million donors. If you do the math, that's a fairly low average amount per donor, and when you take out some of the higher donation amounts, there's a lot of very small donors. In fact, most of these donations were $25 or less. Now, even when somebody donates $5 or $10 or $15 to you, they are now committed to your cause and are more likely to do other things to support you, whether it's donating a larger amount down the road, volunteering, doing e-advocacy, and so on. So he used social networking, something that's come up a little bit already this evening, extremely effectively. He had, you mentioned, 4 million video views for this one video. Overall, he had 90 million YouTube video views. Wow is right. 8 million volunteers were recruited online. There's another wow for you right there. 2 million Facebook supporters. We're talking about Facebook. Clearly, if Barack Obama can get 2 million Facebook supporters, you know, we may not get 2 million for our organizations, but there's a lot of potential out there. And thank you for mentioning, it was a Ken that causes part of Facebook. So what are the lessons for us as nonprofits? Well, social networking is the way to go. We're talking about viral marketing. We're talking about how to get people involved in our causes. And one of the themes that I want to stress to you tonight is not only do you need to make your website really powerful, but it's not going to do you any good unless people come to the website. And one or two of the questions here were oriented toward how do you get people to your website. We're going to talk about that. Not only do you want people to come to your website, you want them to stay for more than the 2 minutes that Christine mentioned is average, which is something called site stickiness. And you want people to return to your site, which is something called site loyalty. People are statistically more likely to donate to you, to do other things to support you the second, third, fourth time they come to your site. And also, as Christine mentioned, you want to get people to refer your site to others, which is sort of this viral thing kicking in. Barack Obama sent out a lot of text messages, a lot of very short, you mentioned, you showed the one from the Jewish Poverty Organization, very short to the point. All of his emails, all of his texts, and the few U.S. mail pieces that he sent out were very, very short and to the point. He used blogs very effectively. He had outreach groups and a lot of e-advocacy, a lot of people virtually volunteering. He had these meetups where people could volunteer to get together either in person or virtually to discuss issues, to watch election returns, to watch the Democratic National Convention, and to do other things together. Very, very effective. He used very little U.S. mail. There's one social networking site that I think you may have mentioned called Twitter, which enables you to send out very, very short messages called tweets. He used this very effectively. These tweets are like one sentence, like, here's what's going on type of things. A couple of places this has been used really effectively in the news recently. One is the Mumbai terrorist attacks. Lots of people, like every 5 seconds there was a tweet being sent out about these terrorist attacks. Some of them from the people who were holed up in the Taj and the Oberoi hotels, sending tweets to their family members and friends back home, who then contacted the Indian authorities, who then tweeted or texted a password to the people holed up in those hotels that said, don't open the door unless somebody uses this password. So that saved lives. Another example, an American was kidnapped last year in Egypt. As he was being kidnapped, he managed to take 5 seconds and send a tweet out, one little, like, three-word tweet, I'm being kidnapped. As a result of that, his friends and supporters back in the U.S. rallied and got him rescued. Anyway, not all of us are going to save lives through our tweeting, but there's still a lot of benefits to come. His focus of his campaign was relentless. From beginning to end, his focus was on effecting change and solving problems. And that message, he was on message. All of his campaign folks were on message all the whole way through. All right. And his website was attractive, easy to navigate, and had very digestible bits of information. No pages that went on forever. Interestingly, his campaign actually asked us to build a website for him which had no red, white, or blue in it. And we did that, but it was really interesting because I've never seen a campaign site that didn't have red, white, and blue all over it. So very out-of-the-box thinking. These are the key attributes of an effective website. And these are the seven. There's four core ones and three tangential ones. I have, just so you know, I've gone through the majority of your websites today. So I'm really going to try to tailor this material to meet your needs. Now, before I go on, how many people in the room have a website today? Okay, and how many do not? Okay, so the benefit of both in the other room and those listening on tape after today, about 97% of the people in this room have a website. For those of you who do have a website, how many of you are trying in some way to raise money through your website? Okay, now those of you who are happy with the amount you're raising through your website, keep your hands up. Okay, just again, for the record, about, I don't know, 80% of folks are trying to raise money through their site, zero are happy. We're going to do something about that right now. So here are the seven things that you should be focusing on. First of all, the look and feel of your site is important. You only have one chance to make a good first impression on your website visitor, much like is the case in social situations. And people will come to that impression within the first few seconds. Most of you, I think, do a pretty good job, but I think you could do a better job of putting your best foot forward and presenting your organization credibly. I think you might be well served by having a graphic designer create a new look and feel for your site that is attractive, that is professional, that is well branded, that is consistent across your site, and where your online branding is consistent with your offline branding. Next, navigationally, people should be able to find what they're looking for very easily on your site, ideally getting from any page to any other page with just one click. Many of you have a lot of good information on your site, but sometimes it's a little hard to find. Sometimes you have navigation that is unintuitive. You have navigation in several different parts of the page. You have navigation people have to scroll down, meaning part of it is what's called below the fold, etc. Next, content is, of course, critically important. And I'm going to divide content into text and images. Now, here are just a few ideas of textual information that you can display on your site. Now, many of these you have already. Some of the rest of them are pretty self-explanatory. Now, most of you have a lot of good information on your site, but your content is fairly text-heavy. You all have some images. You all need more. So let's talk about what you should be having. Also, by the way, you may want to have one or more private areas of your site, a board-only area, a members-only area, a staff-only area. Also, given that we're here in multi-ethnic New York City and New York State, you might want to have one or more mirror image copies of your site in Spanish or in other foreign languages, hopefully such that when you make a change to the English version of your site, it's automatically reflected in the foreign language versions. Now, I did notice there are a couple of you in the room that do have good Spanish versions of your site. There's actually one organization here in the room that is a Spanish nonprofit that has an Espanol link, and when I clicked on it, there was one page in Espanol, but the rest of the site was still in English. Okay, so let's talk about the images that you should be having on your site. I would like to see more images, more, and particularly not just pictures, but also some graphics, some movement or animation, and perhaps even some audio or some video. I'm going to give you three specific examples. Number one, each one of you should consider having a short talking head video of your ED, your founder, your board chair, welcoming people to the organization. Number two, you may want to have pictures and videos of some of the things that you do. For example, Christine's in the back, by the Foundation Center. I noticed earlier somebody was taking pictures of us as the speakers. I don't know if they were from the Foundation Center or not, but they also could have been taking videos, and then the Foundation Center can post pictures and videos of this event, the speakers, the audience, et cetera, on its website. All of you can promote the things that you're doing well on your website. Number three, most importantly, success stories. Now, all of you have done good work here in the New York area. If you haven't done so already, you should be writing up some success stories. Identify some kid, an adult, family, nonprofit, segment of the environment or the community that you have helped. Each story should have a before component and an after component with a clear indication as to what you did to make things change from before to after. Discuss your programs and services. Talk about your staff and volunteers that were involved. Perhaps have interviews with those folks. And ideally have interviews with the people that received your help, hopefully in a testimonial sort of way that will tug at the heartstrings of your website visitor, get them to understand what you do, believe in it, and wanting to support it. Here's a little exercise to help you think about what should be on your site. Actually, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. Can I use you as a guinea pig for a moment? Thank you. First of all, tell us your name and the mission of Just Food.
My name is Jackie Berger, and the mission of Just Food is to make local food available and accessible to all New Yorkers.
So what we're going to do is, this is an exercise to help every one of you think about what should be on your website. Now, we only have time to do a little bit of that for Just Food right now, but here, let's just do a tiny bit of this, and you can all extrapolate this to your own organizations. The first thing you want to do is think about the different types of people that may come to your site. For example, you have the people that you're serving, clients and so on. You have donors and prospective donors, volunteers and prospective volunteers, your own staff and board members, foundations, corporations, and government agencies, partner agencies, local residents, the media, dot, dot, dot. Now, you're going to complete that list and prioritize it. Tell me one of those types of website visitors that's important to you.
People that want good food in their neighborhoods.
People that want good food in their neighborhoods. That's pretty much everyone in the room, right? So what you're going to want to do is step into the shoes of a person who wants good food in their neighborhoods and think about what do those folks want to see on our site, and secondly, what do they want to do on the Just Food site. Now, you're going to find that the answers to these two questions are probably quite different from one type of website visitor to another, and almost certainly are very different from what you have on your site today. This second question, what do people want to do on your site, is not necessarily obvious. So let me give you a bunch of ideas in the next few minutes. Now, I'm going to organize these into two categories. First, we'll talk about financial or fundraising transactions, which I know are near and dear to everyone here, but then we'll talk about some non-financial transactions, which I think you'll find helpful as well. So, of course, we all, or almost all of them, want to raise, all of us want to raise more money by donations online. We've already established that none of you are happy with the level of donations you're receiving online. There's lots of suggestions I have on how to do better. For now, one of them is you want to give people choices. Not everyone wants to take out their credit card and make a cash donation. So you may want to sell tickets to fundraising events, educational events like this one, or other types of events. There are some good ways to collect in-kind donations. Let me actually ask right now if I've got, this is not my computer, but that is over in the corner. It's a brand new laptop, a month old, top of the line. If I was to offer you my laptop as an in-kind donation, who would accept my offer? But the question is, how could you accept or solicit my laptop or other in-kind donations online? And part of the point of this example of my laptop is you don't need to be Salvation Army or Goodwill to be interested in in-kind donations. We're all interested in them as long as they're the right kind. So let me give you three very specific ideas as to how you can solicit in-kind donations. Number one is what's called an in-kind offer. Through your website, I should be able to offer you, in this case, my laptop. I'm asked what I'm offering, the make, the model, the features, the price I paid for it, a picture if I feel like providing one. It's very simple. It takes me 1 minute, and as soon as I'm done, you get notified, rather, that you've been offered a laptop. Please click to accept, reject, or get more information about it. If you accept it, I'm notified that my offer's been accepted. Please ship it to, you know, such and such address. Option number two is, in one respect, the reverse. It's called an in-kind request. You can think of this as an interactive wish list. A number of you in this room have static wish lists, which are nothing more than bullet-pointed lists of stuff on your site. This is an interactive wish list. Say that you posted a request for 5 laptops. I could click on that list, on that request, and this would be a partial fulfillment, because instead of giving you all 5, I'm just giving you 1. the system will automatically reduce the amount you're requesting from 5 down to 4, and then the rest of the process works much like the in-kind offer. The third choice is this. I offer you my laptop, but you don't want it, either because you have enough laptops or maybe you're a Mac shop. But you don't want to reject my offer because it's rather generous. So you accept my offer and you place it for sale in your e-store. As a donor, I get to suggest the item description, the sales price, the shipping cost, etc. You get to adjust any of those. The item gets sold in your e-store to Steve Barton in Flushing. I get notified to ship the laptop directly to Steve Barton. You never see the laptop, but the money from Steve Barton goes directly into your bank account. So anyway, we could go into that level of detail with any one of these suggestions, but we don't have time. But we'll move on. A small but significant minority of you have membership dues. You should offer people to pay and renew their membership dues online, potentially have an automatic renewal every year. By the way, back to donations for a second, people should be able to set up recurring donations. If I want to give you $20 a month for the next 12 months offline, that's way too burdensome for me, and it's frankly too burdensome for you to accept. But online, it takes me how long? About 1 minute to set all that up, and then it's all done automatically, requiring no further work from me or from you. We talked about an e-store. You could sell, some of you have bricks and mortar stores. You could sell items online. Others of you could sell things that are directly pertinent to your mission, books, videos, CDs, etc. You could sell promotional items like a t-shirt with your logo on it. You could sell in-kind donations that you're not going to use like my laptop. You can do online auctions, walkathons or other types of thons. And then affiliate marketing is where you can refer your website visitor to other sites of interest where you will be paid commission on resulting sales. Now, so there's a whole host of different types of planned gifts and investment donations that you can solicit online. Clearly, none of these can be consummated online, but let me give you all three very specific pieces of advice on what you should be doing in these areas. Number one, figure out which of these things you want. For example, if I offer each one of you guys 1,000 shares of Hewlett-Packard stock, I'm pretty sure you would all accept it. And if I offered each one of you $50,000 in my will, I'm pretty sure you'd all accept that too. So even if you're not so interested in some of these other more complex plan giving vehicles, such as CRTs, you should be interested in bequest gifts, which, by the way, are easy to ask for, they're easy to accept, and they represent 75% of all the plan gifts in this country. So number one, figure out what you want. Number two, whatever it is that you want, ask for it prominently on your website. This is something very few of you are doing. And by the way, if there's something that you want and you're not asking for it, you're a whole lot less likely to get it. Number three, have the donor easily find all the information they need on your site to consummate the gift. For example, if I wanted to give you that 1,000 shares of HP, I should easily find on your website all the information about your stockbroker, including your DTC account number so that I can electronically wire my shares from my account into yours. That way, all I need to do is copy that information off of your website, paste it into an email to my broker, and add one sentence to it that says, please send these guys 1,000 shares of HP, click. As a donor, if I perceive the process to be that easy, I am more likely to make the gift. But let's move on to some non-fundraising transactions as well. You may want folks to sign up for your email list, but you should let them specify exactly what they are interested in so that the information they get from you pertains to their needs, not just one size fits all. You may want, Christine mentioned that in this economic downturn, volunteerism fortunately seems to be increasing, so you should encourage that through your website. People should be able to either indicate their general interest in volunteering or to sign up for specific volunteer positions online. Similarly, when you're hiring, folks should be able to apply online, submit their resume, submit their cover letter. You may want to send out one or more types of e-newsletters. Earlier, there was a question on gathering email addresses. I have a lot to say about that. I'm going to leave, if somebody wants to ask a follow-up question on that during the Q&A, I'll be happy to go into a couple of case studies about how you can get lots of email addresses without buying somebody else's email list. E-advocacy enables your website visitors to write to their elected representatives on issues of importance, perhaps completing e-petitions as well. Electronic greeting cards can be a great way to drive more traffic to your site, and anytime you are asking somebody to complete a form on paper, now you can give them a choice of completing it online, not as a PDF or a Word attachment, that's just a piece of paper really, but interactively completing that form online. There's many benefits to that, but one of them is that all of that data entry work is done by the user instead of by you and your staff. public opinion polls and questionnaires can be great ways to gauge people's thoughts and feelings through your site. It was earlier mentioned that you should ask people to refer your organization as a prelude to viral marketing. Get your staff, your board members, your donors, your volunteers to easily and electronically ask for donations, events, sign-ups, and other forms of support from their friends, family, neighbors, and colleagues, and you can even offer creative incentives to do so. Asking for feedback, for example, on our presentations tonight, or on your programs, or on your services, or on your facility, your events, your website, whatever you like, should be easily done online. By the way, with this and with several other things I'm talking about, it's best if you can do these things within your site. Clearly, there's tools like SurveyMonkey and Zoomerang that are really good at these questionnaires, but force the user off of your site. If you can, most of these things you can do instead within your site. Blogs, for example. You know, Norman's got a great blog, but he's using a blogging tool. When you guys create blogs, if you can do those within your site, it helps enormously, particularly in terms of your search engine standing, which we're going to talk about in just a moment. We've already talked a lot about certain social networking and communication tools. You want to use these to build online communities of people with common interests in ways that are going to add value both to them and to you. Blogs in particular, every one of you should at least consider having a blog, maybe one from your ED or your board chair saying what's new at our organization each week. By the way, if you're going to have a blog and not update it at least once a week, don't bother. Also, you may want to have others, like if you're a breast cancer organization, maybe have a woman who's just recently been diagnosed, blog her way through the radiation, the chemo, the lifestyle changes, and so on for the benefit of other women who are going to have to walk in her shoes. Also, you want to have RSS is what's called really simple syndication. This is kind of like an online news feed. There's two ways this can work for you. An incoming RSS feed is where you can subscribe to other sites that will feed information in to you, and if you want, I can show you one of these during the Q&A period. It'll take about a minute. The other way is an outgoing RSS feed where you can enable people to subscribe to your blog, let's say. Now, if I love your blog, what I don't want to do is come onto your site every day seeing if there's been a new post. What I do want to do is subscribe to it through RSS, and so I'll be automatically notified each time you post something new to your blog. Okay. Also, very important. Now, as I alluded to earlier, let's say that you are doing everything that we've been just talking about, and you had a world-class, interactive, really attractive website. It still ain't going to do you much good unless people are able to find it. And so this concept of findability is becoming critically important. And I can tell you that the number one area now for nonprofits to use to drive more traffic to their site is search engine optimization, or SEO. In my many public speaking engagements, this is the single topic that I'm asked to speak about the most. Often, sometimes for as long as 3 hours. Now, for right now, I'm going to try to keep it to about a minute, and if you like during the Q&A, we can get into this a little bit further. One of the key things that search engines are looking for in your site is something called meta tags. Meta tags are pieces of HTML code embedded in your site that identify various characteristics of your site to the search engines. Now, there's about 15 types of meta tags, but there are only two that you need to care about. The second most important one is called a description meta tag, a short description, let's say, of your organization. The more important one, the most important, is called keyword meta tags. These are words or phrases you would like people to be able to search on and then find your site. So we're going to go into view and then source, and this is now the HTML code that comprises your homepage. Now, I've looked at the meta tags for many of the sites in this room. More than 50% of you in this room have either no meta tags at all or blank meta tags, or meta tags are somehow ineffectively coded that are going to do zero good. Were these things not the case, were you not required to put that meta tag in the content of your site, you could take Webster's Dictionary, copy and paste it into your meta tags, and everyone would find your site, no problem. But the search engines are too smart for that. Now, so this is just a little two-minute overview of one or two search engine optimization ideas. I have another 30 or 40 or 50 that I can mention, but I'm just about out of time, so I won't do that. But again, if you want me to go into this a little bit further during the Q&A session, I'll be happy to do that. Nextly, most of you have one person, maybe two or three if you're lucky, that you rely on to make changes to your website. You may be that one person, which is sometimes called the accidental techie. The problem with this approach is if that one person is sick or busy or on vacation or worse yet, if they leave, you're in a world of hurt. Your site is going to stagnate. And even if that's not the case, usually the time required between when you may ask for a change and when it's actually implemented correctly can be hours, days, weeks, or longer. I see a lot of heads nodding. I think that a better scenario would be the following. Every one of you and anyone else in your organization with permission should be able to make any change to your site with no technical skills, with no training, from anywhere in the world with internet access, 24/7, and if you have date-specific changes, they should be done automatically. For example, if you have a fundraising event happening February 1st at 8 p.m., at 8:01 p.m., it should be automatically removed from your site or moved to a past events page so you're no longer promoting an event that's already taken place, which, by the way, more than half of you in this room are doing exactly that right now, promoting upcoming events that already took place. So I'm seeing a lot of smiles and a lot of heads nodding, and I'm also detecting a lot of skepticism, like, gee, Ellen, this all sounds great, but it sounds too good to be true. Now, with that in mind, actually, let me mention one other thing, and then I'll follow up on that thought. There's a lot of valuable data, the data that gets generated by your website activity. You should be able to cultivate and strategically use that data in a whole number of ways. I'll just mention two of them for now. One of them, which Christine started to talk about, was analyzing your website traffic in terms of how many folks visited your site and when. How did they find it? Did they find it through search engines? If so, which ones and which keywords? Or did they link from other sites? Which pages of your site did they visit? How long did they spend there? And so on. Also, every transaction on your site should have its own reporting capability. And so, for example, if you have donations, you should be able to say, give me a list of all the folks who gave us $100 or more last year, but nothing yet this year, and then essentially send them an email that says, hey, thanks for your generous gift last year, but could you please click here to make another gift this year? So these are just two examples of the many that I'm sure you can think of. So the question behind this is, how do you do all of this? How can you leverage the good things about your existing sites, because virtually all of you have existing sites that you've put a lot of money and blood, sweat, and tears into, but also you want a site that's, you know, really attractive, easy to navigate, has all the content you want, has all this financial and non-financial functionality that would be helpful, is easy for search engine visitors and others to find, is easy for anyone with permission to maintain, and has a lot of reporting and analysis capabilities. And I want to thank you all for being such a wonderful audience. Thank you.